Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 30-some years ago, Yale religion professor Henry Nouwen was interviewed for a New York Times article by a religion reporter who claimed that he had not been part of a religious service for many years because of some scarring that had happened earlier in his life, apparently. But it wasn't until this man met Henry Nouwen that he felt permission to ask the deepest questions that still burned in his life. And he wondered if Nouwen would consider writing a book to address these questions, to which Nouwen did. But this was his plea to Henry Nouwen. Speak to us about the deepest yearning of our hearts, about our many wishes about hope, not about the many strategies for survival, but about trust, not about new methods of satisfying our emotional needs, but about love. Speak to us about a vision larger than our changing perspectives and about a voice deeper than the clamorings of our mass media. Yes, speak to us about something or someone greater than ourselves. Speak to us about God. This book, Life of the Beloved, was published 30 years ago, but the questions are the same today. What will bring meaning? What will bring purpose? What will bring hope and truth to our lives? Our lives are usually consisting of rushing from one place to the next, eating our lunch at our desk or in our cars, shuttling our kids off to different practices or activities, and hardly having any time for the people that we want to spend the most time with. It's not always that life-giving, but we are told that this is life. And the things that we're committing our lives to are good and noble and worthy, but they are not sustainable at the rates with which we are living them. And so that is why we are starting this sermon series called Why Church? And this week our answer to that question reminds us that church is how we see God. Our scripture reading that Pastor Callan just read builds on the last few weeks of scripture readings from 1 Corinthians, in which the Apostle Paul writes to a community who is kind of in conflict. They're jockeying for position. They're ranking people's gifts. They're making some people seem more powerful than others. And he says, you are off track. God's voice is not one of competition. It's not one that ranks. It's not one that makes us have status over another. God's voice is a voice of love. 1 John 4 says, God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. We love because God first loved us. So to begin to understand love is to begin to understand God. And so we heard last week what love is. In essence, who God is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It isn't irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And as Pastor Callan just started today's reading with, love never ends. Those of you who are here to worship every week know this to be true. You know there is something to God's love or you wouldn't be here. I just wish those that aren't so sure about this church thing or who don't feel like there is enough time in their days to make space for church could walk these Mount Olivet halls on a Sunday morning and see the joy on the kids' and parents' faces as they go to Sunday school, or see the cars that circle the parking lot looking for a place to park, or the ushers and the greeters and Sunday school teachers welcoming people with genuine interest and kindness and hospitality. High schoolers and senior choir members come for hours every Sunday to bless these worship services with their music. Staff members who work behind the scenes to make sure everything runs smoothly. And you, all of you gathered out there in the seats in our sanctuary, to watch you is to marvel. the way that you hug and greet and cheer each other on. It is fun to hear your laughter. It is something to see, to know that there's a place where you belong and that you are valued and people can't wait to see you. It's something else. I would love for folks who are skeptical about church to come to this place. Not a perfect place, to be sure, but a place that's honest and willing and full of spirit, a place that's committed to sharing God's love with one another. You who are here understand the gift of church. You who are here want to see God. But Gallup polls, research, Pew Research studies, Barna and Wall Street Journal accounts all report that even folks who consider themselves Christian are not practicing their faith as much as they were before the pandemic. And even before that, active Christian participation was declining. Church attendance has been declining for years, and it's not a surprise. We've just kind of taken it for the way life is. I was talking to a child at Cathedral of the Pines over the summer, and I asked if she was a member of Mount Olivet or if she was here with a friend, and she said, no, I don't go to Mount Olivet on Sundays because we just don't have time in our weekly schedule to make that work. Very matter of fact. And I know she's not alone. People's lives are overscheduled. Kids' lives are especially jam-packed, and church is just another item on the menu of life. No elevated status at all. We fill our lives to try to make meaning, and yet without the grounding of God's love, we continue to search for the next best thing to fill our deepest desires. But we will not see God. As St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. Church helps us realize that all begins and all ends with God. Church grounds us in God's story through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We come to church to see God. We confess that we are human and we've made mistakes. We receive forgiveness, and then we are sent out of this place. Free to love one another in just the way God loves us, full of mercy and grace. When that happens, we realize that we've actually been involved in a very loving life all the way along, because when that happens, we start seeing the world through the lens of love. Love becomes our criterion for all that we do. So to end, let me share one of my favorite visuals with you, one that I believe you will probably remember whether you're 3 or 103, and I think it shows kind of the press that we feel in our lives without God, plus what happens when we do give in to receiving God's love. So I'm going to give you, I have more money here than I thought, but here, I'm going to make it easy here. I've got $4. And if I give away $4, if I think that I own these $4 and I give them away, I'm going to give one to you, Mick and Sue. There you go. Oh, and one, you guys are going to have to share, I guess. There you go. But there's, if I give away my $4, how many do I have left? I have 0. This is kind of the way our minds think, isn't it? I don't know if I want to give away my money because then I won't have any left for me. Same with our time. If I have 4 open hours in my day tomorrow and I pick 4 of you and I say, would you mind meeting with me for an hour at a time? If I give those 4 hours away to 4 different meetings, how many free hours will I have left in my day? 0. That's the way we tend to look at life. We don't have enough time, we don't have enough money, and we become victim to that way of thinking. But here I've got 4 corners of God's love. And I thought about, I came to church today to receive God's love. And then I go out from church and I give a little of God's love away. And how many corners do I have left? If I started with 4 and I give one away, how many corners of God's love do I have left? How many corners do I have left? If I start with 4 and I give one away, I've got 5. And then I keep going another. And how many do I have now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. and then I keep going. You're going to get a corner of God's love. You're going to get a corner of God's love. Would you like one? I'll give it to you, Mom. I just keep cutting corners of God's love out, and they just keep increasing because that's the way the economy in God's world works. It increases instead of decreases. When you feel like you are at your wit's end and you have nothing else to give, you tap into God's love, and miraculously, love is multiplied. So if I kept going all the way around and giving my corners of God's love away, what would happen? I would love to give one to all of you, but you'd be here all morning. What would happen if I just kept cutting all those corners? You'd have a circle. And what did Pastor Callen just read? He says, in God's love, there is no beginning or end, because God is the Alpha and the Omega. There is no end in a circle. When we're part of God's love, we know that we're in the right place. We come to church to see God, to receive God's love, to go out with mercy and forgiveness so that we can be beacons for God's love in this world so desperately longing to know it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for valuing church. It does make a difference in everyone's lives. God bless.